From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Melissa Block.
And I'm Robert Siegel. This spring, we had Sex and the City. For the summer, Mamma Mia. And now, following in those high-heeled footsteps, comes a third star-studded Hollywood comedy aimed at mature women. It stars Meg Ryan and Annette Bening, and it's called The Women. That is also the title of an earlier film version made in 1939. Bob Mondello says that despite the best efforts of an able cast, the new film's only virtue is that it allows Bob to talk about the old film.
Let's be clear. Claire Booth Luce's snarky satire, The Women, was always a blunt instrument, a chisel rather than a scalpel for the dissecting of a woman's place in society. The play caused a sensation on Broadway in 1936 and was quickly turned into a movie, not because it was great writing or even great thinking, but because it was trashy fun. Luce filled the screen with backbiting harpies who gossiped, scratched, pulled hair, and took great delight in destroying one another's marriages.
There's a name for you ladies, but it isn't used in high society, outside of a kennel.
That's Joan Crawford, the 1939 version's first homewrecker among equals, delivering her last line in the picture. That same joke is the first line in the new version, which is otherwise so lamely written that stealing a snappy one-liner qualifies as putting the script's best foot forward. That image occurs to me because feet are all over the new film's opening credits, the names of the stars matched not with their faces, but with shots of their Jimmy Choos, which effectively Sex and the City-izes them before they've so much as opened their mouths. Harpies no longer their sitcom-style Carries and Charlottes, enormously supportive of each other, although in ways that are not always helpful.
Okay. All right, I appreciate all of you trying to help, I really do, but please don't dissect and analyze every square inch of this right now. I can't take it. Just be there for me, silently.
Meg Ryan plays the non-gossiping, innocently contented wife at the center of the story, who discovers her husband is having an affair with a salesgirl and who tries to tough it out without listening to her friends. It's the part originally played by a syrupy Norma Shearer, and Ryan thins the syrup a bit by being perky as well as sweet. The problem is she's surrounded by women who are only marginally less perky and sweet, and who are no longer silly, vacuous society women, but career gals with high-powered jobs, big salaries, and responsibilities. A couple of them, in fact, come across more like the real Claire Booth Luce than like the satirical airheads she created as characters. Luce was not an airhead. In addition to her playwriting career, she became a hard-driving journalist, an ultra-conservative congresswoman, a controversial ambassador, and a crusading anti-communist. The lady was ferocious, not flighty, and when she created Mary in The Women in 1936, she did not create a doormat.
What if I don't want him under those terms?
But Mary...
Mother, it's all right for you to talk of another generation when women were chattels and did as men told them to, but this is today. Stephen and I are equals.
That line meant a lot in the 1930s because equality was far from established. American women had only persuaded men to let them vote in the previous decade. Luce knew she was joking when she created the harebrained, grasping, avaricious creatures that one of her characters called she-males. But to make sure the audience got the joke, she made them wildly overstated, silly, fluttery, and comically delighted at their dependence on men.
Oh, he said the most touching thing in his will. I remember every word of it. He said to my beloved wife, Flora, I leave all my estate to be administered by executives because she is an A1 schlemiel. Wasn't that sweet?
Luce continued writing into the 1970s, and though it's hard to imagine her liking the update that's been done to her best-known comedy, she wasn't above doing updates herself. Her last play was inspired by Ibsen's A Doll's House. She called it Slam the Door Softly, and in it she had frustrated wife Nora not just walk out on her husband, but demand that he give her severance pay. That, let's note, is a cleverer notion than can be found in any scene of the new update of The Women. I'm Bob Mondello.